Lessons from the late Parshas Re'eh. Parshas Re'eh, we will learn a lesson of not going back on your bad ways. And I think this is very apropos. Unfortunately, not for everybody that's here, especially those that are not here. Maybe you should listen to this especially. But the concept is something very unique to people who, Baruch Hashem, become inspired and then sometimes fall off that inspiration or go down in the roller coaster of life. So I want to speak about that, and I think this message is very apropos just in general. It's quite obvious that after the Shana Aleph experience, which some of you have experienced, so you've in many cases gotten the best spiritual year of your entire life, certainly in learning of Torah, which is of course spiritual, and being in Eretz Yisrael, it's all amazing. And then all of a sudden, as you might have experienced, the summer comes. And then all of a sudden, everything kind of comes together, especially if you find yourself in a camp like ours, where there are other people who are not of your gender. And all of a sudden, those challenges come up again. And in life, whether or not you're Shana Aleph or Shana Chaf Aleph, your challenges come up again, where you have the spiritual highs, and then the challenge comes. We know that Rei Anochi Noseim Lefneichem Bracha Uvklala, so we learn that the Bracha was on Har Grizim, and the Klala was on Har Eivel. So the Maris Chiyas asks a very good kasha. But Tzvi Hirsch says, why is it that it was necessary to actually give these brachas and klalas on two separate mountains? One would think that it would be enough to give brachas and klalas on the same place and say, listen, this is life. Life is filled of times that you follow the Torah and times you're not going to follow the Torah. Here's what happens when good happens, here's what bad happens. Last week's parasha, Vayim Shamo Adishmuz Mosai Sharanochi Mitzav Chayom. You listen to the Torah, here's what's good going to happen. You don't listen to the Torah, it wasn't done on two separate mountains. Assuming that all the Torah was given on Har Sinai, not just the Aseres HaDibros. So obviously many bad things were told too. Why Dafka on two mountains? So says, the Maris Chiyas, something beautiful. The reason why a Dafka separation was made, and later on we will learn in Parshas Kisavo, again the Rabbanu Shalom tells the Levium to face Har Grizim Har Evo. I was actually once at someone's house for Shabbos, and he said to me, what a view. Look outside my window. Har Grizim Har Evo. Can you imagine every morning waking up to the bracha of that? And still, sometimes we have to look at the klala side also. The separation was done on purpose to emphasize the source of bracha. Always have to be distinguished and come from a certain part. And the curses stay on their side. A lot of times in life, what people think is, people think that I could come from that area, but I'll make it good. I'll go to the cursed area, but I'll do stuff with it. Don't worry about it. Right? If I may give an example that is close to maybe some people here's heart. Hopefully nobody's. But it is, I know. But I'm going to say that it's not, so I can insinuate. And that is that when you have, let's say you went to Israel for the year. I'll give an example, a mussel. You went to Israel for the year, and when you went to Israel, you had a girlfriend. Now this girlfriend, of course, is not a practical girlfriend for all religious purposes, because you're not getting married now. It's not working out as far as that. And Baruch Hashem, in your starker learning to the Rabbanu Shalom, you decide that it's best to break up this relationship. And you do. You still contact. Yeah, but the year's over. You're stark and going shana bad. She's what we call not so stark. Right? You're on har Grizim. She's on har Evil. I'm not saying she's a bad person, but she's staying in her ways. So you come home now, and she says to you, do you want to go to a party? We used to party. So you say, "No, I'm going to show what it is to be a Shana Aleph, post Shana Aleph guy, that I can go to the party. I'm not going to touch her. I'm not going to do anything wrong. I'm not going to drink. I'm not even going to drink there." But she's telling you to go to Har Eivol. What are you doing? Why would you do that? Why would you go there? The Maariv Shechias is telling us, don't even go there. There's no good that can come from curse. Don't go ahead and start to be a lambda shagai now on the curses and say, "But I'm going to make it better. I'm going to go into the club and then makarev people, ask them if they want to put tefillin on." It's impossible. A person who exposes himself to evil can't make that succeed. He's risking his olam hab. And this makes sense based on the Ramban in Sefer Shemos. For the Midrash tell us that the schus of Kriyas Yamsuf was so that the coffin, the Atzmos Yosef, would be able to pass in a kavodik way. When Klal Yisrael came to Kriyas Yamsuf, or at that point to Yamsuf, the Midrash says it was Moshe. You know what Moshe said? Split the seat. Not b'schus b'nei Yisrael. Not b'schus Moshe Rabbeinu. B'schus Yosef ha tzadik. When Klal Yisrael saw this, they made it clear it was because of Yosef. What did Yosef, how did he get that title? You know, Moshe got the name Rabbeinu as his last name. Yosef got the last name at Tzadik, or Hatzadik. How did people get this name? The reason why Yosef was called a Tzadik was because of Eishes Potiphar. We all can picture this Potiphar, at least in my mind, I can picture who she is. She's quite a good-looking lady. And Yosef has so many challenges in his life, Rabbi Yisai. Here he was, the top of the top, the technicolor dream coat. And his brothers sell him, almost kill him. And he goes from the bottom of the bottom. And he's working in the house of Potiphar, and this lady loves him. How can anybody succeed in this situation? Everybody goes out to their yom of Avodah Zarah, and she stays saying that she's not feeling well, and he challenges Yosef in a way that nobody ever should be challenged. And he tatters the clothes and says, "No, I don't want this." That was a challenge, Rabbi Yisai, that got him the name as a tzaddik. Because he was in the lion's den, and he got out. As opposed to saying, "I'll go into the cursed place. I won't. I won't." He knew he didn't belong there. He knew he got to get the heck out of here. Yosef's actions showed us what it is to get involved in the Yetzer and how far you have to run away from it. The Ramban explains that Yosef remained to who he was, and he risked everything. Obviously, which could have been his death. Certainly, Potiphar had rachmanas on him, if you will, knowing that his wife was not the most pure lady in the world, and only threw him in jail. We can't all exceed taking the Yetzer Hara head on. It's a no-win situation. Two brachas. Bracha and klala. Separate places to show us that that's in fact what we have to understand. We have to understand that the challenges are only good when it comes from a good place. For the 80th time, I will tell you the theme of the summer for me. That theme was a often quoted chinuch, which told us that was something that I said from our first year. Then I shared it again, the halachas of Genevas Das, and I shared it with your campers, our campers. If a person is doing bad, he's in bed, it will lead to bad. Because he, that's what's inside of him. He'll become bad. His actions define who he is. And therefore, if you want to become a good person, do good things. Sometimes we're not bad people, but we make bad decisions, right? A person has, for example, let's say, a person has a decision to make. He's got, I don't know, 40 minutes of learning, which he thinks is optional, which really isn't. And he can go to the bunk and do nothing, or he can go. Most probably will be the typical boring shiur that he's used to, even with a dynamic speaker. But he's not going to give it a chance because he's so into his har evil experience of life that he just wants to stay there. And sometimes you got to jump on the other mountain. You got to say to yourself, you know what? I don't feel it now. I don't get it. It doesn't work for me, but I'm going to keep doing it and doing it. I tell students all the time, the Shana Aleph kids who are struggling, whether it's with Minyan, you know, just keep doing it. It's going to grow upon you. There was a student at our yeshiva who had perfect Minyan attendance, but it didn't really go with who he was. He wasn't a perfect student. In other areas, he got in trouble. And I sat with him once and I said, I have to ask you a question. What's with this Minyan thing? Like, you are so much so that guys fed off him. The guys that were in his room, they're like, they had to get up because he was like always getting up. I said, what is it with you? He says, when I was a little kid, from the time of my bar mitzvah, my father said to me, I'm not going to be mocking on a lot of things with you. I want you to grow. I want you to see experiences. There's a few things I ask you. Number one is that we daven every day together in a minyan. Kid's like, all right. He's not stupid. He knows that there's an 8 o'clock minyan. The father says, well, I go to work. So I daven every morning at 6:15. I don't care if you go to sleep after. Honestly, I don't even care if you don't go to school after. You come to daven with me every morning at 6:15. And by the way, Sunday morning, I also go 6:15. So he didn't live in some Hicksville place in the middle of nowhere. He lived in a modern city that had plenty of minyanim. That's what he did. He said, I got so used to it on those mornings. My father would wait for me. And I know, even if it was 5 minutes late, how embarrassed my father would be when he walked into shul. But my father waited for me. And I got rugged to this thing in the beginning, which I thought was the worst thing in the world. And my father was forcing me to do this. I can't live without it. I can't live without it. And he says, so much so, when I go back, I still think I'm going to go to that minyan. Okay, I know all the people there. It's like, you know, but imagine that. Another student, who unfortunately did not get along with his father too well, made it very clear to me once that he hates his father. He didn't say it like that. And he said, there's nothing good I could tell you about my father, except one thing. My father said, I want to give you a skill for the rest of your life. I want to teach you how to lane, and I want you to learn every single parsha, at least the first Aliyah, so you can lane Monday or Thursdays. I thought the guy was nuts. Every Shabbos you have to sit in it. I hated him for that. And now, it's the greatest thing he ever did for me. I love it. Could lane on a fly. He started to learn, of course, all the parshas. It's because of my dad. I hate his guts, but yeah. But all of a sudden, this is something that he liked. And he was the guy who was always sitting and going over his laning and always making sure. And then we came to Megillah, so he wanted to start to lane the Megillah. However, if you're in a bad place, you'll be a bad place. There are stories. You know the story of the guy that, you know, and he went in and he came out and he was amazing. But that's usually not the story. There are two mountains and they're distinguished and they're separate from each other. You can't live in the world of curses. You're not going to get out of it good because what's going to happen is that you're going to get in such a rut that they're going to convince you that that's the right way and that's what is going to happen to you. You know, imagine if you lived in, let's pick a city, Las Vegas. Right? So it's not going to be easy for you. Yes, I know there are nice from parts of Las Vegas and there are good people that live there. But if your mom is living in the casinos, and it's hard. It's hard. Baruch Hashem, you're all fortunate to live
with the exception of maybe Moshe. But you are all fortunate to live in vibrant, nice, firm communities. But where do you live?
Huh?
Where do you
live? Phoenix.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Forgot about that. Probably more than where he lives, no? So, you have to make a decision in life. And I dafka use this idea because sometimes you dafka fall, and I see this like 101 all the time. I see students who years later get married, and they went shana bed, and all of a sudden I'm like, what? You know? That's your engagement picture? You know? What's going on? But those guys that stayed with the good chevra, which stayed with, even though they had moments where it was difficult, they were with the right chevra and they became who they are today. And that's really important. We have to not give ourselves as much credit as maybe you want to sometimes. Because our minds play games. It's called the Yetzer Hara. And it will tell us, oh, come on, you can go, we'll be fine. What's going to happen? You know in your mind, you're committed now that you won't do it, right? And we all, you know, 20 minutes later, be like, I just told myself I wouldn't do that, and I did it. How did that happen? Because you went to the mountain of curses. What do you expect? But don't ever think that you can combine the two worlds. You can't. Now, again, don't misunderstand me. There's a famous, beautiful essay from the great Rav Yitzchak Hüttner. I know Goldbach used to quote it many, many times. Obviously, I've seen it inside many times as well. I think we might have even related some of it here. And he speaks about a Talmud who leaves yeshiva. He leaves Reb Chaim Berlin, and he goes into the work world, and he said he feels like he has two lives. He's got his home life, living wherever he might live, let's say in Brooklyn. He's got the minyanim and the learning, and then he's got his work life, which is really different. And really what he's saying is that I live on the bracha har, but every day I'm going to the cursed har. And thereof, Hüttner says you're totally incorrect. And this is an important last point to make, because I don't want to confuse you to think that it's not what reality is. He says you don't live a double life, you live a broad life. A broad life means is that work doesn't have to be a cursed place. Okay? Unless you work for a place that is cursed because they're stealing, lying, and cheating. So then you shouldn't work there. But just because you work with people who are, maybe their language isn't so good. I was actually yesterday at a wedding, and all I was doing with, I went with my daughter, all I did was to get a drink. It was a Diet Coke. She wanted a Coke. And when we got there were people before us, unfortunately, espousingly from people. They were wearing yarmulkes, I'm not sure why. And they were telling the bartender a dirty joke. And the bartender responded with a dirty joke in return. I didn't know what point I should tell these people, I have a daughter next to you who's 15 years old. Can you please shut your mouth? And finally they realized and looked at me and said, we're really sorry. We actually thought you were with your wife, much younger wife. So young she could be my daughter. I said, I have to be honest with you. Even if I was with my wife, it's not appropriate. So I'm not talking about that. Rav Hüttner says you could find yourself in a place where you have a broad life. Where you can take what you have and maybe, if I may, this is what you've decided to do this summer. You've gone into a place, it's not a cursed place. God, a camp is not a cursed place. You decide I'm going to risk everything if you will. I'm saying, I can go to, I don't want to give names, I can go there, I can do it. I'll be in a better spiritual place. But no, I want the broad life of going to a place that has bracha. And yes, there is, but it's not a place only of curses, chas v'shalom. You should go out and you should do. That's what Hashem put you on this world for, not to live in the ivory tower and do nothing to help Klal Yisrael. But you have to distinguish yourself and say that even within those places, there are cursed places. Because within the workforce, there will be the challenges of going to the cursed mountain of partying, going out with your friends after work. That's a cursed mountain. That mountain doesn't work well with a person being able to say, ah, I'll just go for a few drinks and then I'll come home to my wife and my kids. Doesn't always work that way. But the work experience can be good if you distinguish yourself. You go that first day and you wear your yarmulke and you explain who you are and say, this is not... The biggest bracha is when they see somebody and they say, ooh, sorry. Not sorry, rabbi, I cursed. But sorry because I see you're Orthodox and cursing is not something you do. That is this challenge. The challenge of being the Yosef HaTzadik. And I have to say something. I think is a beautiful idea. I believe I heard this from my Rebbe Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, and I'll conclude with this. We, as a nation, are called Yehudim, Jews. We, as a nation, are not called Joes. We are not named for Yosef. I just told you Yosef was a tzaddik. The Ramban says the zchus of Kriyas Yamsuf was because of him, because he withstood Eishes Potiphar. Says Rav Aaron, nobody can do that. That's an inhuman challenge. Nobody can take a challenge that Yosef had and actually be that, get a title as a tzaddik, because it's impossible. You couldn't be in her house and not sin. You're more of a Yehuda, Yehuda v'Tamar, the challenge that he had. But even if you find yourself in the lion's den, we are Yehudim. We succeed as Yehuda did. The Shevet of Malchus came from him. But don't you dare think that you can be in a situation on the wrong har and you'll succeed, because it's not easy. And you have to take that message with you. Wherever you're going to be going in the next few weeks, whether it's to Israel, whether it's back to Israel, whether it's to school, take that message and say, well, who am I? What am I going to become? Who am I going to hang out with? Who are my friends? What am I going to do? You know, sometimes I think the biggest problem is we don't even give it a chance. I always talk about that Motzei Yom Kippur, Shana Aleph. You had the greatest experience of your life in tefillin, ruchnius, and you don't know what to do with the challenge. What do you say? Let's go out partying tonight. Let's go to Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, and make it into a cursed har. Why? I'm not saying you have to stay up all night and learn Motzei Yom Kippur, but go with the good guys. Go out to eat good. You're fine. My bracha to you as we, unfortunately for me, conclude this summer. And say you recognize the great strengths that Hashem has given you, and you choose u'bacharta b'chaim. You choose the hagrizim brachas. You stay far away from the Har Evel Klolos. And with that, Amir Hashem, with your great actions and your inspiration, and hopefully legally keeping up the relationships with your campers. I know there's some like rules how that's allowed to be, but you should be zeiche to be mechazik them, mechazik yourself, and that will bring nachas ruach to Ribono Shel Olam.